What's up, Beast Place? Recorded the 23rd of July. The topic here is try not to pick fights with people at random. This might seem a no-brainer, but I was listening to working and listening to Fighter and the Kid. In it, Callan and Brian Callan and Brandon Schaub, and they had a guy from some radio show, Mike Catherwood. And so Brandon Schaub's former heavyweight UFC fighter. I think he got up to number 8 in the world. He was a college football player that didn't get drafted or didn't make a team, something like that, from University of Colorado. Huge dude, was, like I said, ranked like 10th or 8th as a heavyweight in UFC, which means in the world, he can beat up almost everybody. That was years ago, but that skill remains and blah, blah, blah. Like, would you want to fight Mike Tyson today? He's in his 50s. He's almost 60 years old. No? That's correct. Okay. So, because sometimes I leave the house and I'm like, please someone mess. I'm a pretty big dude. I'm pretty strong. I have fight endurance, meaning like if you put me on a bike or if I go for a run, I'd be lunged out in like 10 minutes. Bike 20. That's totally different. Bike's much easier. But on a run, I'd be lunged out in like 10 minutes. My legs just seize up and that's that. Which is normal. If you don't run ever, for me, it's not something that my body is naturally attuned. However, if you put me on a bag, I can hit that. I did that for a long time as my cardio. And then my cardio became jiu-jitsu. So I have some sort of lingering cardio. And I went back to jiu-jitsu last week. I mean, I had to stop, obviously, because I tested positive for COVID. So I got to wait like another week or whatever it is now. But to go back. But the first day was traumatic. And then the second day, I kind of just got back into the rhythm of it, which basically you understand your level of stamina and you fight. And if you're fighting a really good opponent, they're gonna let you because a slow rhythm is a better rhythm. When I go up against, I've gone up against a lot of like more highly skilled white belts than myself who like to implement a highly kinetic, highly energetic sort of combat pattern. And I would say that like 2/3 of the time I come out on top, even though I'm huffing, like they'll be huffing wind. Like I remember wearing dudes out that are way fitter than me over and over again. So I have that understanding of the fight. That's probably my best aspect because I know that I'll get winded if I go balls to the wall like some 24-year-old dummy on the mats. So that's brand new. And not dummy, but just brand new, inexperienced. And so I have some modicum of, and I'm heavier than most people, so I have some modicum of thinking that I can take out opponents. Now, there's a real good caveat to this. One-on-one. Two-on-one? I don't know. My stand-up game is not, like, my whole tactic would be close with and drag to the ground. It's, if I fight someone that can, is good enough at striking to keep me from getting in on them, I'm going to have problems. If I go against a more skilled ground opponent, whether that be like, you know, some high school wrestler who is going to give me fits and shivers all over the place, or I go up against a, more skilled jiu-jitsu opponent or some other, like a judo dude where I just get tossed before I know what's happening. And so there's a lot of like bad avenues, but I do have this, there is a legitimate reason why I think most of the time I'm gonna be able to handle whatever situation I'm in. So, but imagine your former heavyweight UFC fighter who was ranked, is on TV. He's in, I don't know if he ever headlined, but definitely made it to the main card on, I mean, he was going up against top opponents. So this dude's telling stories about how guys on the bike trails yell at him. I'm like, what are you thinking? Oh, I see. There's this giant monster. Let me yell at him. There's some people just so entitled. And it's not, because on the there's different kinds of entitlement depending on your, on who you are, where you're from. For instance, if you were from like, you know, a bad neighborhood, it's a different thing. Like, you're very sensitive to insult. That's been my experience. Very sensitive to insult. Me and my buddies in flight school used to see this all the time. And some of the clubs we used to go to, because of our age, there was like a local place. It was like places that weren't the tourist area. And dudes were getting fights all the time. Like, what in the hell? Over what? What are you getting? What could possibly have happened between two people that don't know each other in a dark, crowded nightclub? It's like this thin skin, like, that we kind of derisively call it poor man's pride. But that's how snottish and elitist we were. But it's there. It's a thing. You know, I saw it growing up. So did my buddy. And then I see what on the opposite end. If you're middle class, it's a little bit different. It's like you can't, they won't back down. So it's a different thing. A middle class guy, blue collar guy, won't, he kind of understands. Well, let's just do the rich version of this. So poor dude will talk shit. And if you talk shit back, will attack you. This is, you know, it's my experience. If you talk back to him, he'll escalate to physical relatively quickly, and is willing and sometimes desirous to. I've talked to guys, I've known dudes that enjoyed it. Wow, you enjoy this? All right. Then you go the other end of the spectrum, and you get to rich dudes. Rich dudes will talk mad smack, and this is what makes me think these, because the guy said that it wasn't the mountain bikers per se, which mountain bikers tend to be casual fans, right? Like, I'm just going to buy a bike. It's going to be a mountain bike because that's what everybody gets. Or a hybrid, and I'm just going to ride it around. And when you get to dudes that are buying specialized road bikes, and they have the spandex, and they have all the gear, you're getting into a high-end person. They're spending, like, 10 grand on their rig, right? Now you got someone that's up there. And those are the people we say that generally yell at him. Obviously, it's not going to be every single person, but there's a pattern there. Why? Well, you know, because if poor dudes might do that, they'll make fun of you. What these guys are doing is they're yelling at him for, like, not wearing masks, not required in California at this time. Or having headphones in. That was the one. Like, with the mask, that's, like, nationwide. That's a bunch of busybodies that need to mind their own business. But as far as the headphones, like, what difference does that make to you? Like, take your headphones out, like yelling at him. And you have to have a certain level of entitlement to yell at a stranger, because you have to be under the assumption that stranger is not going to do anything to you. They're not likely to even talk back to you. And they're definitely not going to get physical with you. You have to have grown up in a world where words don't lead to fists. Starting from halfway through sixth grade, for me, that's the world I lived in middle and high school. And I'll tell you, coming from a place where words got you punched in the face, and I don't mean like metaphorically, I don't mean it starts a fight. I mean, someone will just punch you. Just punch you. Like, hey, don't do that, you're being a blank. Bow. Not, hey, don't call me that. Not, hey, I'm gonna say something back and it's gonna escalate. Not that. I had one kid, I said something to him, and I remember this vividly. He said, you have 3 seconds to run away. I mean, face turned red, full rage. We were friends. He's like, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to run home, or I'm going to beat your ass. And he could. I at least I thought he could. So I turned around, and I went full speed all the way home, red in the face. I think he tried chasing me. My the other guy that was there that was kind of like, hey guys, don't you know, why don't we chill out, like, this is like not cool, let's relax. That dude said that he didn't even come close. Like, I was so far ahead that eventually, like, he sat there and counted and then tried to catch me and gave up about 10 yards in or something. Like, and he said that guy was pissed, like mad, like stayed mad for a while. That's second through sixth grade on, you could say whatever you wanted to most, for the top 20% in wealth of the people I went to school with. You could say whatever you wanted to them. The only thing they were going to do is try to be clever back. So if you Now, I imagine people say things, you know, I heard Rogan like, oh, you know, it's that hardship that makes you strong. And no, it doesn't. Rich stay rich, poor stay poor. I mean, there's some movement, but, you know, the rich kids have all the advantages. It's obvious. And so they grow up in these sheltered environments. And you want to put your kid in that environment because it's nicer. In a way. But I'll be honest. I think you're better off. I really do think you're better off in a blue-collar environment where it's not a fight a minute, like in a bad neighborhood. But you don't want to get to so richy-rich that words become meaningless, that words are the only... Because it can lead you down this path where you're going to yell at this former UFC fighter because you're so used to everyone in your social circle being, you know, words only. And then... If you point out that they're breaking the rules, they'll sheepishly, like, follow them. Whereas, again, kind of where I grew up, that was not the case. If you were to try to do that, hey, the rules say this. Usually it's like, this is a moment of thought, and then you move on. But I also don't know the rule with headphones and biking. Where's that written? Oh, I can't wear headphones while I ride my bike? What? Wait, are you the arbiter of that? And working out with a mask on sounds like an absolute nightmare. I don't even like walking around with it on. I have to wear it at home now. And it sucks. And I can't wait to take it off the second I put it on. I don't even want to hang out because I got that thing on and everything's hot. It's hard to breathe and it drives me nuts. Like, I hate it. So... I'll wear it wherever businesses decide that they want you to wear it because they can kick me out of their private, off their private property. I don't think they should be allowed to make that law. I used to believe that, you know, private businesses should be allowed to do whatever they want, fire who, hire whoever they want. Not anymore. Nope. They've shown that they are not capable of that responsibility. They are not doing good things. They're doing bad things. Like, they're enabling Marxist protesters. Now, I read somewhere that it's that money that's being given to Black Lives Matter is first of all, if you give money to Black Lives Matter, you're not really giving money to Black Lives Matter because there is no Black Lives Matter. It's a subsidiary of a other NGO called Thousand Currents. So when you give money to Black Lives Matter, it's actually going to another company called Thousand Currents that handles all their... Now, I don't know how then the accounting works from there, but whatever. In either case, you have companies giving money to these organizations. And I'm like, I don't think you should be. You're a publicly traded company. And now you're giving what really is shareholder money to a charity that they may or may not agree with. And be like, oh, but it's important. All right, well, let's exchange Black Lives Matter out for Baptist Church. You can see how like a bunch of people go, hey, wait a minute. Mosque. The Heritage Foundation. Trump University. Yeah. Right? So it becomes like kind of murky. Where it's like, well, I don't know. I don't think they should be doing that. They shouldn't be firing people for what they say on social media or on their podcasts or anything else. And what they do. Anyway, kind of back to this idea. So I'm thinking that like you got a bunch of rich guys and, you know, rich people. This can be especially true of women that come from these environments, these very soft environments, like the one I grew up in. So I should say it's true of men and women. They both don't see any physical, and they've never had physical consequences to their words. So they're used to just being able to like run their mouths. And even if people disagree with them, they may get into arguments, but nothing ever really comes of it. And so they've never faced the consequences of insulting someone and having that someone react violently and negatively towards them. That's why, just leave people alone. That's really what I'm trying to say. Just leave him alone. Don't harass. You see someone that's like, quote unquote, breaking some rule, let it go. Unless it's like really affecting you. If you're just getting annoyed, they're not supposed to do that. Just put your, everybody has that feeling, all right? And just, if it's serious enough, call the police. Don't get involved. If you see two people fighting, do not get involved. You know, I've said this before. I kind of got involved once. This dude and this chick were arguing, and he was getting weird. And so I was kind of like, hey, bro, leave her alone type thing. And she just instantly was like, kill it. Like, instantly their fight went from between them to them versus me. Luckily, I kind of got, I was like, sorry, I was like leaving. But you don't know. So you see that situation and you try to intervene, and that might be two people, right? And you don't know what's going on. You don't know what was transpired before to cause this situation. And you may not be in a position to, now, if you're in a position like a teacher, you have to stop one student from beating another. But that's about what, and someone be like, man, you're a pussy, you should like intervene, you need to like step up. It's not your fight, man. There's 1,000 fights in this world. Fight the ones that are your fight. Also, again, the world I live in, this stuff I'm talking about happened when I was a early teenager, like our first couple, 2.5 years of high school, after which point I really became fully preppied. I wasn't even involved in anything remotely edgy. By the time I hit my second half, somewhere around my junior year, I wasn't doing edgy stuff anymore. Like my freshman year, I did a few little edgy things. My sophomore year, I did quite a bit. What you would consider like kind of edgy and whatever. But now, I'm pretty much, or I should say after my sophomore year. Sophomore year was like, you know, drinking in the woods, going to field parties. So it could be like some empty field somewhere, like unowned, but, and finding some place that was like relatively can't be seen from the road, and having a party, parents away, hanging out at the McDonald's parking lot, like that sort of thing. And by the time I'm a junior, I don't do that anymore. I'm either, you know, we have our party places designated. They're fairly safe, with a couple of exceptions of hanging out in different places and the occasional party at some unknown or new. And it just sort of, yeah, I just sort of like became, it was just too easy to do it in a way that minimized the risks, right? And it was hard to do it in ways that would maximize the risk. So, like, for instance, my freshman year, but it was a big thing among some of my friends, like one circle of friends, where they just went to the high school, they would get some booze, go to the high school, and hang out in the baseball diamond and drink. You know, it's actually, in my high school, that wouldn't have been the best course of action. Really, the best course of action would have been to park your car. I can't remember the name of the road, but there was a road, like, behind my school. And you could have definitely parked your car there. You don't want to park in the lot. So you're stuck. The popo can get you. Because they're going to come in via the parking lot. There's one entrance to that school. Driving in. It would be to go behind the school. Actually, the roof would probably be best. Because then even if the cop did a drive around, you could just lay down and he's not going to see you. And never think to look. Probably too lazy to climb up if he had an inkling. But that craziness aside, just right behind the school, between the school and the, let's call it a stadium. That's a very, very generous of me to call it that. The stadium, like sort of bleachers and a football field with a track. That would have been the best way to go if you wanted to get drinking at the school. But whatever. I would just, you know, and it always strikes me as funny is that there's people that really just feel this sense of invulnerability. And I always think to myself, are you carrying a gun? Because that's the level of invulnerability you need to remotely do what you're doing. Because you're making a lot of assumptions on civilization here that, as of recently, have shown to be not that hard to break. You are assuming the other person is going to react strongly negatively to you, and you're assuming that they're not going to get physical with you. So if you're some little, you know, not little, but like you're this guy, you're a bike rider guy, we just keep using this example, and you're out on this trail, And you just talk smack. Finally, you're like, you know what? I've had it. I've seen that same rider with his headphones on every day. You just stop in the trail. Let's say it's narrow enough for you to block the trail by parking your bike sideways. And the guy stops. He's like, what's up, dude? Right? And you're like, hey, man, I've been riding by here. I've seen you with your headphones on. Every single time I see you, you got headphones on. And you know what? You're not supposed to do that. And you take them off. And you take them off right now. And I'm tired of it. And no more headphones for you. And this guy's like, you can't, dude, who are you? And you're like, I'm Johnny Appleseed. Okay, Johnny, like, that's cool and all, but I don't care about whatever rule you have, Mr. Spandex wearing biker guy. Well, I'm not going to let you pass. And then this guy's been having a bad day. Or no, he's just a psycho. Or no, you just made him snap. He's like, hey man, really, get out of the way. I'm not going to get, he's been bullied somehow before with this, right? And you're blocking his path. And he can't just turn around because he's actually on his way back, right? Because maybe in that situation, I'd be like, all right, F you, man. Seriously, F you. Now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to ride away from you. Or you chase him down. You're like, hey, man. Hey, headphones. Hey. That dude decides. He's made a decision. He's like, that's it. This dude's yelled at me like every time I come out here, this guy's yelling, all right, fine, cool. Gets off, punches you square in the face, all MMA of him, blah, blah. And you're probably going to be in a world that you've never been in before that you don't like. And then he takes your bike and chucks it down the mountain. Oh, and then he rides off. You don't know who he is. He just threw your bike down the mountain. You know what else was on your bike? You had your phone in one of those, like, things with, like, a mount right there. Because you were watching your progress. Now your phone's gone. So now you got to try to climb down the mountain to get your phone, to get your keys, because your keys are in the little bag on the bike. So now you got to figure, oh, but you can't go straight down because that's impossible. It's like a cliff. This thing's at the bottom of some ravine? Oh my goodness. Now you see the problem. Anyway, don't give people crap. Unless it's affecting you directly, let it go. All right. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.